we were getting Lamborghinis dropped off at our house, and we were driving them, and we were photographing them and writing about them. We were getting sent on, you know, trips that I could only dream of.
Can we get a 5, 4, 3, 2?
Hello and welcome to the 9th MCM podcast. My name is JR.
And my name is Max.
And we are the intellectual masterminds of Monmouth County memes.
Just incredible word choice.
Unbelievable.
For that.
Yeah, it's completely true. We are intellectuals for sure. We make memes for 15-year-olds.
Yeah, I think our main demographic is like...
Probably.
It's 15 to 24. It's
probably 15 to 24. So,
yeah. And then...
Who knows? Some of those 24-year-olds might actually be 15. They were just, you know, giving themselves an extra 10 years like we used to when we made our Facebooks.
Yeah, I was going to say, people lie about their age on Facebook all the time.
All the time.
So today's guest that we're having on is something really different. We've never had this before. We try and do that each time, make it very different for you guys, make it very different for us so it feels new. It's the founders of View Magazine, which is a luxury New Jersey magazine. And we have some copies here. JR, do you want to show yours first?
Absolutely. So I have three copies right here. Max gave me these ones. I honestly, no idea why he chose to give me these. And
well,
took
I give
his
him three
two.
And myself two because I'm a generous guy.
Exactly. What can I say? We'll see. We'll see about that in a couple seconds. All right. So my first one is a history of tradition with Morgan Motor Company. There you go.
It's a nice cool looking car.
Very
nice
cool.
Paint
very
job.
Nice. Second one is going to be. Give Back Spotlight, the Give Back Spotlight with Mariano Rivera.
27 rings,
the
baby.
The Sandman. Mariano Rivera's got 27 rings.
The Yankees, chill.
I know. I make those. You know I'm just going to zoom in on your face.
I wanted to do that because I want the viewers to know how anal you are about
how,
all this.
How big of a loser you are, yeah. And then my last one is Bruce Springsteen.
The boss. Right,
the boss. The man.
Now let me just show you the magazines that JR left me.
And yes. I chose the.
Let me just start out. This girl rocking this one piece with flippers.
Yes.
Which we're
very
saying,
large flippers.
We're saying it's definitely like a really cool piece, but I'm not. She's scuba diving, but maybe this is just her getting out.
I would say snorkeling. I don't think you can scuba dive like that.
Wow. Okay. You could. I feel like it's definitely.
Where's her oxygen tank, Max?
It could have been on the boat. This is just her getting off.
Yes.
Let me just go to the next one. All right.
Okay.
The next one, even cooler. It's I actually really like the colorways on here. It's the bridal issue, and I have no reason why I chose this one. It's cool, like big flower. It's definitely not real. Just overall great cover. And I was saying before we were started shooting. Yeah, I have no idea why I have the bridal issue because I could not be any more single or like there's no prospects out in the way. I think we had like this joke in our friend group, like who's going to get married first out of all of us? Because listen, no one's in like the next 5 or 10 years, but like who first? And I was definitely in like the last of that.
You probably were.
I think I was.
And it's not because and it's not I don't know where I
just
was.
Just because I'm a loser, right?
It's not because he doesn't want to get married. It's because. Because he's a loser and couldn't get a girl if he wanted to. No.
Could I just say, I made, because we're right on 25,000 followers.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a dating app in years, man. Mm-hmm. Like actually years.
Yeah.
I just think I'm too good for that stuff. I don't need it. But I ended up, I'm kidding, guys. But I ended up making one yesterday. With like most all the pictures are memes. Like my profile picture literally says like a picture of me just at a bar, like wearing this like jean jacket, and the caption literally says like, if you don't have 10,000 followers, don't even speak to me. Like it's just stuff like that. And then the other pics are like me with JR where he looks like Pat Mahomes, and it's just all like he does. Like right now he doesn't look like Pat Mahomes, and I'm telling you, we'll do a side by side.
No, they
really
just
quickly.
What they do is they Photoshop his hair onto my head and they think that I look like him.
Yeah. And then the other pictures I have on there. So if you see me on there, swipe left really hard. Okay, just please, because I'm not taking that at all seriously. So given today that we are interviewing people who run a luxury magazine, the first thing I want to ask you, JR, is, you know, where do you get your news from nowadays, or even, you know, right now?
I think that I definitely get my news primarily from online, like maybe Twitter. And it's not It's not because I I'm anti-print. One thing I was talking to you about earlier is that, like, for example, I hate reading books on my phone or on tablets or Kindles. Like, I can't get into that. I don't like it at all. Like, I prefer the physical book. I like turning pages, getting from one part of the book to the other.
But I hate reading books in general.
Yeah, this is another reason why he's not going to get a woman, because he's not smart, okay? Small brain.
Wow, okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
That was really Max, harsh, man.
The reason Max is at the bottom of the woman, the marriage list, is because he puts no effort to meet girls whatsoever.
None.
And he has the can I talk about your strategy? Can I say what it is, or is it you don't want the girls to figure it out?
He doesn't understand it.
Max's strategy is
if he texts
a girl and she takes an hour to answer, then her response it comes in 2 hours. He doubles whatever the time it takes for them to respond to him. He doubles it. And I'm just like, okay.
It's the game. Like, you don't understand. Like, you act like it's like so crazy, but like,
no, it's not more, crazy. It's just funny. There's
more people that do it. And like, not even that, like, I've tried it so much.
Yes, you have.
Like, no, as a recent, like, that's, I really just taken such a break from everything. But like, I don't want to sound like, what's that, like, shit works, bro.
Shit works, bro. No.
No, it's just like, it's funny. It's a little thing I do.
Well, it's like, of course you're not doing it lately. Who the hell is like meeting people right now? And
Let me just say, like, we, with this account, and it's like, I'll be honest, like, after, I don't want to be on my phone at certain points.
Oh, no,
like,
me neither.
Because we, like, guys, we just posted this dog thing last night, and we have like 70, or like, it's probably 50 DMs, and I already posted like 30 of them just of people's dogs. And it's like so much, and it's like so, like, I used to like feel like, oh my God, I want all these followers on Instagram. But now I see, like, when you have that kind of status, it's like there's such a demand for it. And when I'm not using my phone, like, for the app and for basically like our brand, whether it's like the podcast or the meme page, I don't want to be on my phone. So I'll just like throw it on my bed and not use it. And I never used to understand that, because like I'm usually addicted to my phone. But now I'm like, let me take a break.
Well, it's funny too, because I definitely have been a huge slacker on the meme page as of lately.
He's been horrible, guys. This guy just doesn't do a thing. He's on there. He just like, he just likes a message. And I'm like, Jer, I know you're in there. And then he's like, no, I haven't been in hours. But because Instagram definitely, it doesn't show you when you're in. I would love to see that. It'll just be like, JR hasn't signed an account in 3 weeks.
Oh.
No, because I like, he makes funny ass content. But like, you just, I want you to like, he said on Monday, he was like, Max, I'm making 20. And Sunday night, I was like, let's go. And then Monday night, looking in, he hates the Google Drive folder that we have. I was looking, I was like, oh, Jared, did you, it's like they're in a hidden folder or something. Like, he's just screwing with me. Like,
it's one of those things where it's like, now that I have all the time in the world, I just don't have the motivation to do things. And I don't know why that is, because normally, like, when I was working, going to the city every day, I was making memes all the time. I was coming up with ideas all the time. I was reading all the time. And now that I mean, I still am working from home, you know, on a limited basis, but and I have all this free time. And I think it's because of how little, like, human interaction you have. You know what I mean? Because, like, the only thing I can think about doing is, like, wanting to go out and do things with my friends and going out and meeting people or, like, being active and doing stuff like that. But the fact that I can't do that, it makes me not want to do other things, like go on my computer, put together some, you know, content or something. It's just, I don't have the same motivation to do those things as I used to.
Well, there's a lot less to talk about now because we've kind of already talked about COVID, and I'm so done with that.
That's the thing. All the major, like, meme formats that are coming out, it's like they're not really, there's nothing that we can necessarily apply to Monmouth County. Like, one of the things I want to talk about are the Elon Musk's children memes.
Let's just go into that now.
X-A19.
Like, seriously, I want you guys to comment what you guys think of that name. I read something whether, like, it means, like, Kyle or something like that. And they're like, that's a crazy way to say Kyle. I don't know. But it's like, there's so many memes, and we'll just throw some on the screen.
Oh, I'm going to, because I thought this is the other thing about Twitter that I was telling Max, is the only thing Twitter gets better with memes than Instagram is that when something is trending, you click on it, like, there's going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of new ones. So you can go through them all. Yeah. And then you can put them on Instagram after. True.
But with Instagram, it's like you see one good meme of something and it's made by one person and they're not going to make 20 memes of that. So I agree. I don't use Twitter. We're trying to make a Twitter for our brand. We actually did. So follow it. We're at 3 followers right now. We're going to be hopefully getting to 10 followers by the end of the week. What, you got a meme you want to show?
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite one. Elon Musk and his son, X-A12, having a heart-to-heart.
It's okay. Now they're hugging. Like, we supposedly Elon Musk was on Joe Rogan's podcast the other day. I didn't get to watch it. I thought Jared just was talking about it, and I saw like a thumbnail from it, but I thought that was from like the old one that he had him on. Mm-hmm. I hope Elon he could have been smoking.
No, I don't think he probably weed. Did. I don't think he did. Well, he already. He's one of those figures where it's like, I know he knows what he's doing, but he tweeted out Tesla stock is too high right now, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and
then
it dropped 40 points. And people who have like stock in Tesla,
a lot of
what
money
the
in
fuck
it.
Are you yeah. doing?
I got to respect the meme culture. But the thing is, he like memers do that stuff and they have zero influence. And he does that stuff and he has too much. Or not
way
too
much influence. Well, if he stepped down as like the, you know, he did step down as a Tesla, I thought.
Yeah, isn't he not the CEO anymore?
Yeah, but he still works there.
Yeah.
He still has a position. He's just not the CEO anymore. Scenes. I don't know.
I agree. Like, let me just say, I agree with getting social media, like news off of social media.
We kind of just completely went off that topic.
Well, it's fine because I like that. I mean, Elon Musk is news. Like, there's so much news out there. And how do I hear about the Elon Musk stuff? Through Instagram. Like, yeah. I don't have any notifications on for whether it's the WSJ or like any big, like the Times or anything, like any digital stuff. I get ESPN stuff, and ESPN has no sports right now. So what are they tweeting about? Just Giannis getting his stuff hacked and whatever. You guys all saw that this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't even read a newspaper nowadays.
Well, that's the thing. I was telling you, when I went to school in California for a couple of years, I took a bunch of journalism classes, and one of them required me to read the newspaper every day. I'd pick up a newspaper on my way to class and read, you know, like the New York Times pretty much every day. And I did enjoy that. Like I said, I like having something and physically like having it, reading it, turning pages. It's just, well, one, I don't get a newspaper delivered to my house, so I don't really have that. I could go out and buy one, but I'm not going to do that,
well,
especially
the link is big around here.
I'm not going to read.
I know.
No offense. I'd support all New Jersey businesses, but
Asbury
I'm not.
Asbury Park Press. Come
of course,
on.
The Asbury you guys Park. Are I would read the Asbury Park Press over the link is what I'm going to say.
Where's the link based at?
I have no idea. Yeah. I really don't know. But the thing is, like, I think the reason that it's okay for me to say that I get most of my news from social media and online is that, as somebody my age, I can differentiate that and fake news. Whereas a lot of older people go on Facebook and they read these articles that are just so obviously fake news and they can't distinguish that. Like, I get things from my grandmother all the time, like emails, and I'm like, this isn't real. It's not. And I know that because they're so non-technologically adept compared to the way we are. Like, we know things and that they don't. We can recognize immediately based on like the URL that it's not real, you know?
We have friends that have sent like the Onion articles to us and they think it's real.
When you say friends, do you mean Austin?
I think he's done it once or twice. It's just like, and I'm just like, I'm like, dude, you look at who wrote that. Like, and he'll send like his first thing is, dude, I can't believe this. Like, it's just, that's why like on Instagram, even Instagram, I don't believe half the stuff that I see on there. I generally don't, but I still find, I like the fact that there's also trolling people on there, which just makes it 10 times better. Like, I live for Instagram comments.
That's the other thing that's cool about getting your news online is you can see the immediate reaction to it, which you can't do with print or with television. I mean, television, honestly, I don't watch TV news at all anymore because it's so slanted in either direction. And it's just personalities, not so much reporting the news. And that's why I just avoid it as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even watch TV really in general, let alone news. Like, I feel like I'm more like on YouTube right now. But there's so many different different personalities going on like that. They're not wrong, but I feel like most of the time they say stuff just to make news. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like you're saying, no matter what you watch, whatever TV station, I try and get off it. And, you know, it's a crazy time because you don't know what to believe. We're people, you know, students nowadays who are told to read and to educate ourselves, but in a time where we have to like differentiate what is right and wrong. I mean, it's crazy. You wish there was like a history book of today going on exactly like telling just the facts.
Yeah.
But there isn't. What is that? Like Ripley's Believe It or Not? Like they need to release every one of those every week just by the facts. But I mean, don't you think it's difficult for someone to not give a biased opinion? Like I'm playing devil's advocate here.
No, it's definitely difficult to not give a biased opinion. I don't blame the networks that give biased opinions. I don't like when they present it as not opinionated.
Yeah.
Because if you're obviously pushing some sort of an agenda from either side of the realm, and you say that it's an opinion, then that's fine. But when you report opinions as news, that's where I kind of like lose touch with what they're saying. And I'm like, I have no interest in watching something like this. If you want to say, you know, I'm left or I'm right, this is my opinion, and that's what you're putting on, fine. But when you say this is fact and there's an obvious slant in one direction or the other, then it's like,
it does become news at that point. It's really not. It's just an opinion.
It's an opinion. It's like the opinion section of a newspaper.
So now we're going to get Jason and Brian from the VUNJ on the podcast. We're about to give them a call so you guys can hear from them about their brand, what they do, and how it's really connected to New Jersey, and also how they influence all over the world. So let's get into that. Jason and Brian, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. How you doing, guys? Jason Underberg. I'm the founder of View Magazine, publisher.
What's up, guys? I'm Brian Coburn, the publishing director and co-founder with View Magazine.
We were kind of looking over the magazines, and I was saying, like, just from the covers, they look, like, so aesthetically pleasing. And just the variety of all of them, they all just look so different. I was flipping through, and I think I was, like, going through the different issues from, like, even 2017 on. And it's a really special product that you guys have. How do you come about kind of designing all this and making it look the way it is?
Who wants to take this one, Brian? You want to set it off?
First of all, I mean, look, we look at every issue as a standalone, piece of art. So we appreciate that. I mean, we want, especially from a cover standpoint, we really want it to be something that you're going to gravitate towards and be proud to keep on your coffee table and so forth. I mean, I get a ton of magazines in the mail, and most of the time I kind of peruse it and go through it, and then it's in the trash. So we want something that's going to live on and give people a reason to pick it up.
I think exactly what Brian said. My thoughts were it's a piece of art. And, you know, today everybody's so, scroll, 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 scroll. You really can't get that same effect as you can in print. And when you open something and you have just these gorgeous full bleed images and turning the pages where the feel and the touch and everything, it just comes to life. It's a completely unique experience than what's out there.
Well, that's something we were talking about earlier, was the difference between, like, for example, reading a newspaper or scrolling through your phone. Like I tried to liken it to, I hate reading books on Kindles. You know, I don't like scrolling and reading books on my phone. Like I like to have that physical copy of it. So I definitely can see where that comes from. And I think there are a lot of people who do still feel that way, even though there's that whole, war between the online media.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting there. You hit it on the head. There is like a war between, well, is print dying? And, you hear all this stuff about how everything's digital, but the truth is the same people that are talking about how print is dead, you're watching them read a magazine on the beach or at the pool or, in their living room. So there's something to be said about a tangible, it's kind of like us right now having this Skype call, whereas, unfortunately we have to do this because of the quarantine, but had we been together, there's a certain kind of synergy there. Right. It's the same thing with anything tangible, reading a book or a magazine, if you will.
Yeah, I can't read anything long form on my phone. I mean, I get the newspaper every day, and all the magazines I receive, I have digital access, and I can't read it on my phone or iPad or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I think even me and JR were saying we got really good, doing this podcast with people in person. Now with COVID, we have to do everything with this Skype calls, and you know, there's technical difficulties, and it's just kind of, you know, there's been podcasts where we'll say a question and the person will answer 5 seconds later. It feels like a news interview. But you guys, this is good quality. You guys, yeah. I like the setting you're in, you know, in the house, and Jason, you have the view behind you, so it looks really good.
And it's different. It's difficult trying to mix it, because the whole point of a podcast is it's supposed to be a free flowing conversation, and there's just something yeah. different about having somebody actually with you and looking at them sure. as opposed to having them on a computer screen. So it's definitely an adjustment to be able
without
to
a doubt.
Keep that podcast feeling and not make it sound like a news interview. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. I agree. I mean, you watch all these shows that are being filmed right now from home. I don't know what you guys watch on TV, but you know, when I do have the time to watch TV, I catch all these flicks, and it's like these people are, they're having reality shows, or, you know, the Housewives or whatever it is. And they're filming these shows remotely. And it's like, it's just weird, you know, it's like not the same interaction. It's like, wait, it's my turn to talk.
You know? I did see Saturday Night Live. They did.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. The crowd to you know, applaud or whatnot. It's very strange.
Yeah. I've been watching Jimmy Kimmel, and like he films in like his little corner. Yeah. And, you know, it's just like, it's so weird. Like there's no audience behind there. There's no action. There's no energy. It's like, you know, it's hard to get into.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a change. Now, the first thing I want to ask you is, you know, you've been asked this a lot, but I want to give our fans an idea of how you started View Magazine and why both of you did it. It's definitely a great thing that it's turned into, but I want to hear the foundings of it.
Yeah, so I guess I'll start this one off, and then I'll let Brian kind of chime in here. But, you know, this was a passion project. This was like, Brian and I just, we're like, we're two guys who lived like the most extravagant life you could possibly ask for. So we were jet setters, just, you know, Brian was living in Florida. I was living in Jersey. We're cousins. I would go stay in Miami where he lived for weeks at a time. You know, we would party. We would go out. We would, you know, just everywhere we went, we would kind of just do it a little bit over the top. And we always joked and we always said, God, we need to make a career out of this. And, you know, started the idea of View Magazine is just kind of like, hey, let's start some over the top luxury lifestyle that even if you can't afford half the shit in our product, you want to aspire to live that lifestyle. So, so we started View. And it started off as kind of, you know, a small seed, as you will, with any other business. But it quickly caught fire. And I think people just liked looking at, you know, things that they necessarily couldn't touch. So we were getting Lamborghinis dropped off at our house, and we were driving them, and we were photographing them and writing about them. We were getting sent on, you know, trips that I could only a dream of. These were like, you know, $20,000, $30,000 vacations. I mean, Jade Mountain, Hermitage Bay. I mean, we've been all over the world, and this thing just kept, you know, manifesting into this insane luxury publication where now, you know, fast forward, you know, you have to be at a certain caliber. You have to be like, you know, the best of the best in order to get featured in the book. So it's kind of interesting how in a market where, you know, necessarily there might not be that many millionaires, if you will, we've appealed to not only those with that affluence, but we've appealed to those who aspire to live that affluence.
Yeah, I feel like it's, if you see this up on like social media, listen, I'm not going to compare you guys to like the Kardashians or anything, but people watch those shows and they're almost so out of touch with society, but it's like you want to be them, like where they live in these big mansions and you guys have created this. And I agree. I'm flipping through this magazine and I see a BMW i8. You know, the only way I've driven one of those in the past year or several years was I used to do valet during college. But I mean, you know, so it's definitely.
Hey, that's better than most. You know,
I think you hit it on the head, man. It's like the lifestyle came first and the brand came afterwards. It wasn't vice versa. A lot of times people try to create a brand and then make their lifestyle fit what they're doing, which doesn't create authenticity. So for us, authenticity is key. You always hear people talk about keep it real or whatnot, but I mean, that is really our motto from cover to cover, everything that we put, everything that we publish. we experienced firsthand. So it just made sense when we were doing, you know, Jason comes from a publishing background. I mean, he's been publishing magazines for over 20 years. So it wasn't like this was our first foray into print or into media and marketing. We just took it and elevated it and brought it to the next level. So.
Touched upon it briefly, just the whole difference between print and digital. What do you guys feel like you do to survive in that whole, where like the world is kind of shifting towards digital? What do you guys do to really continue thriving in this environment?
That's such an interesting question. We for so long, Brian and I were super successful with really print as probably 90% of our business. And the other 10% was our digital presence, because we had to have a digital presence, right? Like, you're dead in the water today if you don't have the right looking website and a social media page and everything else. But the last 3 months, especially during this quarantine, Brian and I have gotten PhDs in digital marketing. I mean, we've spent so much energy on digital because we've had the time to. So, you know, we're probably 80% further than we were, 3 months ago. And now, you know, we've taken the brand to so many different, levels. We've got our podcast, which we actually launched a couple weeks ago, called The Inside View.
Congrats.
Where we interview, I don't want to say celebrities, because that's kind of a, you know, that's kind of a stretch, but they are notable people. I mean, we're interviewing New York Giants players, we're interviewing Maxim models, we're interviewing, we have an interview next week with the Kitchen Cousins. We've got, pop artists and people that we have featured in our book we're now bringing to life through podcasts, video podcasts. And it's entertaining. We're going with kind of a unique style, like almost like a Jimmy Fallon or a Conan O'Brien, kind of like funny talk show style. So, you know, that we've ramped up. Our social media, we've ramped up. Just more energy, more action. Our website, you know, we're putting more content. So we're staying so ahead of the curve. And we're young guys, so it's not like, you know, it's not like we don't know this shit. We know how to market digitally. We just didn't have the time because our print was just taken over. But now it's interesting because, you know, we're at kind of a cool crossroad where we're finally being able to put more energy into the digital side of things, which we love. And we have the time to do that. So it's been a cool transition.
Yeah. I couldn't even say for there to be one thing, but each of you, I want to like ask, what is your favorite part about like running this magazine? And it's really not even just that, it's a brand. You guys have created this brand that's well known in, you know, New Jersey, but I feel like it's far stretched because you guys talk about all over the world.
Yeah.
I always say we're locally or regionally distributed. But, you know, our stories are told domestically, nationally, and internationally. So for me, one of my most exciting and favorite parts is just being able to identify and find these, whether it's these resorts that are halfway across the world that we bring to life and showcase, and people find it. And, you know, they go and they spend their honeymoon there or their trip there, and, you know, bringing things to life that people weren't aware of. And we always want to be at the forefront with introducing, whether it's fashion or travel, dining, just showcasing something that people weren't aware of. You know, to me, that's the most exciting part, or one of.
I'd have to agree with Brian, but for me, I think one of the most rewarding and exciting parts is, you know how you have that friend, everybody has that friend, right? He's like your go-to friend, where if you want to know where to go eat, or you want to know where to go on vacation, you ask that guy, right? And that guy, for some reason, he might not necessarily have a bigger network. He might not necessarily have more money. But for some reason, that's the guy you always ask. You're like, oh, you know, let me go ask Joe. Joe knows the best restaurants, right? Like, I like being that guy. And I feel like when we tell people, hey, you got to go check out this place, or you got to go eat at this restaurant, or you got to go stay at this place, people literally come to us and they're like, hey, where should we go to? Hey, where should we go to dinner tonight? Like, I get text messages all the time. Hey, what's the best waterfront restaurant in Jersey Shore? Like, you know, these are the things that I absolutely love, is being able to kind of navigate people through, you know, the experiential side of things, and being like, hey, this is where you need to go check out. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna propose to my girlfriend. Where should I get my wedding ring?
Yeah, me and my buddies, funny, we're like just talking about that. We were looking at that list on your website of some of the best restaurants, kind of whether you're saying waterfront, the best Mexican places, Italian places. And we were going through, we were like, well, everyone we were going through, we're like, yeah, honestly, that place was really good. So I got to say, you guys do have good taste. We're going through all those places.
We're not biased either. We're not going to put somebody on there because they paid us. Sure. Like if you look at those lists online, yeah, those are places that we've eaten at. At least our journalists have eaten at. Somebody's eaten there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've done our homework.
You guys talked about some, you know, the places that you get to go to, the types of cars you get to drive. But in terms of, like, the events you guys host or go to, which ones, I don't know, I guess just talk about some events that you guys have had that really come to mind since you guys have been doing this magazine.
The one that sticks out for me the most, I don't know about you, Bri, but I know which one you're going to say, but the one that sticks out for me is probably a night in Wonderland. We took over the W Hotel and we transformed the entire space into Alice in Wonderland theme. And when I say transformed, I mean, you literally walked in, you waited online, you had to drink the potion, you got shrunk down and went through the rabbit hole into this world where everything was just like, it looked like Avatar in there. I mean, you've got like the giant chess tables and you've got the characters all dressed up and people hanging upside down from chandeliers pouring champagne. And like, it was just so over the top. That event for me always resonates, but I got a feeling I know what Brian's going to say, but I want to hear it from you. I don't know.
It's a buzzkill with everything that's going on that we haven't been able to throw too many, and who knows what the next phase will look like. But for me, it's when we do our annual yacht party.
I knew it.
I don't know. There's something about it. You just feel like you're in a whole different world. I mean, or you turn around, all of a sudden the Statue of Liberty is right in front of your face, and we've got, you know, a live orchestra and fast food and drinks and cigar rolling. And, you know, we're bringing, you know, 100, 150 of our top friends, clients, VIPs, and it's awesome. You know, everybody loves it. It's one thing they look forward to. We theme it. We did a 20s, roaring 20s. A couple years ago, like Great Gatsby theme, and everybody gets dressed up to the nines and comes aboard the yacht. And it's a cool few hours. So
agreed. Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorites.
No, I'm hoping, do we make that list of 150 at least? I was going to say, we got to squeeze us
152?
We could be, we'll be your plus, like your plus eights, like whatever your friends can just invite us. But
yeah, I wonder, we can make that happen. Yeah. We know a couple people.
Yeah, throw a couple of people off the boat. We'll jump on for sure. So I want to say, for, you know, I was looking off an old interview you guys had. There's something that you were doing that I wanted to ask about is Inside View. And it's something really cool. We're talking about like your lifestyles and behind the magazine, which a lot of people see the finished product. But, you know, talk to me more about it.
Yeah. So what will happen is right now the Inside View is strictly a podcast like we spoke about, sure, where we interview different people. Yeah. But what's going to happen is this is going to kind of be a more of a running show where we actually take you into the life of publishing a magazine. So truly behind the scenes. So when Brian and I are driving these cars or going on these trips or, you know, flying on crazy, you know, G5s or G7s, you know, whatever it might be, we're going to have this edited video segment that gets, embedded into our show. We're about a week away. We're opening one of the most insane offices that we've ever opened in Red Bank, New Jersey at the Galleria. And this space is going to be, it's kind of won't do justice if I just explain it. You'll have to see it, but we're making it like an attraction. There's literally going to be hand-painted murals on the walls and velvet couches and, cigar room, studio room. This is going to be like an attraction where people want to kind of come and take a picture in front of one of the murals. We've partnered up with the Red Bank Design Center and Amy Manor. Her team is taking over the entire space and just going absolutely nuts over the top on this. So the Inside View is going to really come to life in that space. So you're going to actually see, it'll be, you know, our show with our staff and our team and how we get from A to B and how we find our covers, and all this stuff will come to life through our show.
I think that's really cool. I can't wait, because I know it's been something long in the running, and with this podcast, you know, you're having these big guests on. What's really, I like, listen, this is, you really answered the question. I mean, I don't think like you guys can really say even more, but you probably will. But I want to say, what is next for the brand? Because you guys have so many aspirations. You just like said 10 already. What is next for you guys? Like where is like View Magazine and this brand going?
Well, I mean, definitely, you know, continue to put out great product and, you know, expand our distribution slowly but surely. And just continue to evolve and move more into the digital world as well. You know, we have to navigate through this COVID-19 era, and you know, one of the big things that we were planning for 2020 were the experiential events. You know, we were planning to do one or two events per month, so we'll have to see if we can continue with that. But aside from that, I mean, the plan is to just be the premier brand with respect to luxury in the state of New Jersey, whether that's print, digital, online, whatever media and medium you're looking at, is to just be at the forefront and, like Jason said, be that go-to expert for anything related to luxury.
We also have a product that we kind of launched just about a week before all this happened. And it's a View experiential card. And it's basically, it allows anybody to kind of get a little taste of the View life, if you will. And what that looks like is you pay a membership fee. And you have access to a round of golf at one of the most private golf courses. You have a one-time visit on a private boat sunset cruise. You have a helicopter ride over New York City. You get all these insane experiences through a lot of our partnerships, and it gives you a really cool chance to just be part of that entire lifestyle. So everything that you see in print kind of comes to life. We got a little bit held up only because, obviously, of COVID. You know, we weren't able to get everybody out there. We've got a few subscribers, but everything is kind of on hold right now until life comes back.
Yeah, I think that's mostly all the questions that we have.
Yeah, that's all the topics I think we wanted to touch on. Do you guys have anything specific that you want to talk about before we end the interview?
No, I think you guys were great. You know, I think you asked us all the right questions. You know, I think if I can, you know, say anything, it'd be, you know, make sure that if you're listening to this or watching this, make sure you guys check out, obviously, the magazine, viewnj.com, V-U-E-N-J.com. And then, of course, our podcast, which, you know, is next week, is probably going to be one of our best shows. We have Kiera Gomez, who is a former UFC ring girl and also is a Maxim model. She's just absolute fire. She's going to be on the show. So it's an exciting show, and you can watch that right on our website. It's viewnj.com, and you just go / ViewTube, V-U-E-Tube. So yeah, that's it. Follow us on Instagram, of course, because we're looking for some new followers right now.
Yeah, we're going to put your links definitely in the bio, so everyone will be able to check out you, check out the brand, the Instagram, of course. And I think we need to work on getting, you know, similar guests to you guys. So we'll let you know when we can get a Playboy, you know, model going on. I don't think at first you're going to be able to compete a little bit, because you guys have a head start with the magazine and the prominence, but we'll get there someday. Yeah. But so, yeah, Jason and Brian, thank you for coming on. If there's, you know, guys, definitely check them out. We're talking to the camera now. So if you have any questions about their magazine, or just, you know, reach out to them at viewnj.com. And yeah, thank you guys for coming on. Stay safe and be healthy. Best of luck to you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you guys so much. Be well.
Okay.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. So I think that was a good conversation.
Definitely.
Kind of good to get to know them, see, you know, what their drive is in this magazine and all that.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it as kind of a parallel, like just similar to us. They're just kind of a little bit older version of us, but they're go-getters. You know, they started something. Obviously, Jason said he was in doing this for a while now, but this is kind of a venture with him and his cousin. and look at where they're at now and look at how we started all this and where it's growing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to all this.
Yeah.
The first thing I want to bring up following that was is really TikTok and how, like, we laugh and how popular it is. And we've already talked about it somewhat and like how we just can't get into it. But like, there's just, whether I see it on Instagram, because TikTok is like creeped a little on Instagram. We've posted them and dude, they kill. And I always I send them to you like, hey dude, look at this one someone sent in. And you're like, meh. Like it's content. But
well, the thing with TikTok is I do think some of them are really funny. Like I've seen some really funny ones. Like the one that you and I both watched, the 5'9" guys getting, like, you know, like that. I'll put it on the screen because it is really funny.
It is.
I mean, where the fuck should I really even start?
That's but, so good. Like some of them are really funny, but a lot of them are like really painful to watch, you know? And I think some people take them really seriously.
Yeah.
Or they just make painfully unfunny things.
Do you remember, like, it had to be over a year ago, because I was still living in my house at Monmouth. Do you remember, like, the great furry versus gamer war that was going on? And I sent you that one kid who was actually making YouTube videos about it, because his name was Sergeant Fuckboy. And, like, dude, like, TikTok was big back then. Like, for some, it was really big, but it was, like, all a meme. But now, like, for some reason, dude, I don't remember, it stepped off a cliff for a year and no one remembered it. And now it's come back and people are actually getting famous off it. Like, I see that. Like, I'm not going to lie, dude. Like, when I see, like, someone's Instagram bio, like, 35,000, you know, followers on TikTok, like whatever. It's so pretentious. I don't know. I just dislike that because I'm like,
it's pretentious. But when we say intellectual masterminds of Monmouth County memes,
we're
it's
sarcastic.
Not.
They're not. That's we're true. Funny too. So clearly, so funny. So there's this one TikTok that I want to bring up, and I didn't even know it was a TikTok at first. But this is a public service announcement to Barstool, because Barstool, you need to hear this. And I'm saying this for all of our followers, and even on my personal, I've been a big advocate of this, that you guys need to delete both of the I'm Snacking videos. Now, the first one on the 12th was bad, and then you guys, I read an article about it. You guys wrote an article saying, like, hey, screw you guys, so we're going to post that again. And they did. So
I'm just going to keep posting. The more the angrier we get, the more we're going to have to see.
Do you want
to
give a little background on it?
Oh, background.
I mean, well, because I have the article up. It, basically, the girl, her name is India Gantz, and supposedly she's America's Next Top Model. Like, I was going to say, she's a good-looking girl, like, but the video got so much hate because it's so cringe.
It's painful. And it's what is the song, actually? Like, what's the actual song that it's, like?
It's just, I don't know what it's like a play off of.
There's an actual song's play off. Like the Carole Baskin version of the song is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But there's also music playing. And it's.
We'll put it up on the screen so you guys can see.
Well, just actually.
Can you?
I'll just actually play it.
Yeah. Just play it so you can see.
That's not it.
Yeah, take your time. I mean, like, guys, like, hey, you know, she's a good looking girl, like, wearing a dress. Like, you would think like that on Instagram. That's usually how, you know, you get like a lot of.
I'm snacking. Cheetos, Pringles, ramen. French fries, chicken, nuggets, ice cream, sandwich. What am I craving? What am I craving? I am snacking.
Like, dude, like, let me just say, not only, okay, she cut that very bad where she left, like, the thing at the end, like, you're doing right there. Like, it's just, like, we're saying TikTok is all about using copyrighted music. Throw music on there, throw, like, anything to make it, like, not so cringe.
I don't think it's possible. I actually, the more I watch it, the more I think that no matter what she does, that is the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. It's irredeemable.
So the comments aren't just trolling. Like, that's actually bad.
It's bad.
I agree.
It's just not funny. Like, there's nothing funny about that. And I know that we're the kings of funny. Not really. Every time I make a meme, you guys just, like, don't like them anymore. I have no will to live when I look at how my memes perform. That's why I don't go on the page very often lately, because I don't, like, and we've talked about, like, our status on Instagram and, like, how we're doing with, like, feeling like we're shadow banned. Like, our followers are still going up. We're about to 25,000, which is amazing.
Thank you, guys.
But I mean, we'll make memes that I think it's a lot of it's also because I do a lot of videos. I do video memes more than photo memes now. But it's like things that would have gotten 3,000 likes easy barely don't even hit 2,000 anymore.
No.
And it doesn't make sense.
It makes no sense.
That we're having such a hard time getting likes on posts. That and like I will say that some of the video memes that I've made in the past like couple months have been some of my favorite memes that I've made. And they just don't do well anymore. Well, I don't know what it is.
It's unwarranted. Strange. It's unwarranted. You know why? Because back in October when we had 10,000 followers, we would get 2K easy on a starter pack and it makes no sense. There's no reason. We used to
average 2,600 likes a post.
And now we're down to like 2,000. Guys, for real, like if you try and if you're not following us and you try and search up our name, you can't find us.
Yeah, it's very hard to find us. You have to type in the exact name letter for letter, no mistakes.
And we're still, funny enough, at the bottom. We're at the bottom of even like you look up. So, you know, I don't know what to really do because I talked to Jared about this. What makes me mad is that we started out as a meme page and that's what we are, but we've kind of turned into a brand because people look at us, mm-hmm. you know, for, you know, a lot of things. We're a big influence on the county. So, you know, we took on that mantle. We're actually an LLC, but the problem is Instagram's treating us as some like dog shit meme page that mm-hmm. posts horrible content when guys, we're doing exactly what New Jersey Memes is doing. Like obviously not as good.
Yeah, Colin, like this is all your fault.
We're doing what Holmdel's doing, what Rumson's doing, what all these other pages, upstate New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, but they're not experiencing this same stuff as us. And guess what, guys? We work hard. We post every freaking day.
You know like, what it is? It's because we're two white men.
That's gonna definitely gonna get us demonetized.
It's not like we're monetized anyway. We're not getting any ad revenue on YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, listen, but this doesn't take away from the fact that the worst thing I've ever seen in my life is that I'm snacking video.
Yes.
And I'm just painful. This is a PSA. I'm going to DM Barstool with this to tell you right now, and you guys are definitely not going to listen. But they've been doing a lot of unboxing and stuff. I want to send them in something with Mom's County Memes and this girl unboxing being like, please delete it. It's bad because it's been a huge movement all over. And funny enough, Jer, on every one of their new posts, there's always two or three comments that say, please delete the I'm Snacking video.
That reminds me of that Cracker Barrel story. Do you remember that?
No. What was that?
Let me just pull this up. So Cracker Barrel, this dude's wife was fired. Like unceremoniously from Cracker Barrel after years of working there. And people went on, he posted it on like on Twitter and then it went crazy on 4chan.
Okay.
And 4chan decided to like spam Cracker Barrel with with the, like these comments. Let me pull them up. Because this happened like 2 years ago, but if you go on Cracker Barrel's Twitter, anytime they tweet something, they say, so they tweeted out, we're honored to help blank, blank, blank and give back to healthcare heroes by providing meals to hospitals through our There's Comfort in Giving program. Somebody comments, you could give Brad's wife much more comfort by giving her her job back. Brad's wife would have been honored to have her job back after 11 years of service. Ugh, Brad's wife.
Yeah.
In these times, I'm reminded of a woman who worked for your company for just over a decade. She was married. I believe her husband's name was Brad. Her service was above and beyond what is expected of any employee. It's literally every single response on any of their things is Brad's wife. And this happened years ago. It's over and done with. But it's funny because when people like get behind a cause, whether it's a joke or serious or not, they don't let go.
Oh, people don't forget.
Like even if they did delete this post, it's not going to change. People are still going to make gonna comments. This is going to
define.
I'm snacking.
Yeah, that defines Cracker Barrel. This is going to define Barstool. But even like it's a life lesson with us because, guys, we'll do good stuff. Like we'll shout out small businesses. We'll do – but then there will always be that one person that is just like, you piece of shit. You never mentioned West Central Jersey or something like that, West Monmouth County. So yeah. I think that's just like it's helped me so much in this, even this podcast, like, you know, for all the bad criticism, we haven't really got anything horrible. People are just so nice to us. They don't want to lie.
Have we gotten any bad criticism about the podcast?
No, I think just constructive stuff. And it's been good because we've been getting better and better.
Well, I tell you guys to comment what you guys want and no one ever does it. So...
Well, it's I think we have to say that in the beginning of the video.
That's true. No one's getting to the end of the podcast, let's be honest here.
No, our last one got some good commentators. We haven't really marketed the podcast at all. We're starting to do that now. Aside from the horrible, I'm just done talking about that. I can't even think about that anymore because I'll see that. Like, I won't watch the video. I'll watch it like once a week just to remind myself my hate so I can continue going. But the next thing I want to bring up is just like weird Instagram names. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I feel like if people, there's two things that I have issues with is that when people put the before their name, like the Max Sobrano or the J.R. Bellavia, like
let me change my Instagram.
Yeah, really yeah, fast. Yeah. It seems so pretentious. Like it's so like I hate that. I feel like, and you know, they have like 200 followers and then have like a ratio of like 800 following.
You know what that reminds me of? When you sent me a picture of that verified dude on Instagram who had 400 followers, I'm like, how does that guy get verified? But Colleen can't and we can't. It makes no sense.
It's because they paid someone, dude. That's what I'm saying. I don't know what they do. There's like I said, there's definitely people, like there's sketchy ways for people to do stuff, but like it makes no sense. It's so, yeah, like I sent it to JR because I don't know what I was doing. I was pissed, but I was like, you know, let me screw with JR more. And now he was like, what the fuck? Like someone with 400 followers has, and he was just a regular, it would be one thing if he was like a celebrity or whatever, just a regular guy who runs like a, I don't even know. I have no idea. So the next one is, and this sucks because when we have to search up names for memes and like tag people, if you just write in, like, let's just say you had _ J.R. Bellavia. If I search up J.R. Bellavia, you won't come up. Like, mm-hmm. I have to throw in that _. It is so extra. Like, you are doing the most, so much. So, you know, you can have an _ at the end of your name, J.R. Bellavia _, because I'll still find you. But for the people, dude, there's like a few people that I need to tag on Instagram for like some of my last posts. It's like all of them were like J_R. Like, it's just like splitting it up. And it makes it so difficult. So maybe it's just me.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is what I would like to call first world problems. Complaining about _ of people's names because you want to tag them in our photos.
Okay. You're like, you know what, guys? He would experience that, funny enough, if he ever posted. So let me just fire back at him. So I know he doesn't understand the meme culture nowadays because he's above it.
Yeah, I'm above it. I just spend my days doing nothing. So, you know what I've been doing lately? And so is...
What? What have you been up to? Clearly sorry. Being tired.
Not getting podcast. Enough sleep, apparently.
What time did you go to sleep last night?
Like 12.
Okay.
Like, oh, I went to bed at like 11, but I couldn't fall asleep till like 12.
I've been having that issue.
It's because I'm so used to going to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Those damn dog DMs. I was going to like 2 a.m.
That's not what's keeping me up. I'm just doing nothing in my bed. Like, I literally just look at my phone like, oh, fuck, it's 12.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've just been for a while, funny enough, it was the whole Call of Duty thing that everybody was in.
Did you stop playing?
Yeah, I can't. I stopped playing. It just makes me angry and stressed out. And like, my blood pressure feels like it goes through the roof when I play that game. It's not healthy. And like, I just like, fucking slam my desk sometimes because like
then you don't play with Disco in them anymore.
I played with them a couple times the other day, but okay, like we stopped for like 2 weeks, didn't play at all
because Disco's saying yeah he was playing. I don't know whether
play the other day, but it's like it just gets me so angry and like it's like unnecessary anger.
Yeah.
Especially when you do Warzone battle royale mode, it's like I've played like 250 and 1-3, so I don't have a good record. It makes me frustrated. So lately, I've been playing Mass Effect again.
I have seen, yeah.
And it's going to, and I know, for anyone who's played this, and apologies to anyone who's watching and is like, I don't give a fuck about video games. For anyone who's played this, it's like three really great games. 98% of the games are good. And then the last like 30 minutes of the third game makes no fucking sense, and it sucks. So I'm setting myself up for disappointment, but...
You already played it, so you already know. It's not like...
I know that no matter what choices I make in the games leading up to the ending, I'm still going to have the same terrible ending, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's like rewatching a TV show that's sad. Like, you know what's going to happen, but it's that good of a show.
Where it's like watching Game of Thrones. The ending fucking sucks.
I know. I've never seen it, but
I know.
Don't
watch it. There's no point. It sucks because sometimes it's like... I still recommend people play those games because it's just the last 30 minutes that aren't good, but... Game of Thrones has got like a season and a half at the end that are just awful. So,
yeah,
it's hard to recommend something that's like really disappointing.
I really just play, I play a little bit Warzone right now, some multiplayer. They've been having a lot of updates, so it takes me like a day to update it with my stupid freaking internet.
It's
like
literally the game is 200 gigabytes right now. And they're like, there's every season is a 50 gigabyte update. It's going to be, I'm going to have to delete the game eventually. It's going to take up my entire hard drive. And I have two hard drives on my computer.
Dude, and I have a crappy Xbox One. That's true. So like, it's not even, no, I love the Xbox. Us Xbox boys. Rage on. We're not PlayStation or, you know, I'll give the PC dude something because I have a nice PC. I don't play any. The only games I play on there are called Penguin. but yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely a weird time right now. And just figuring out when we could really.
Kaya, come here.
Hi, Kaya.
Come here.
That could be part of it. Honestly, for the commercial, you could just be holding her.
New addition to the podcast right here.
Honestly, yeah. Like, we'll just cut in. Keep her in. Keep her in.
Wait.
What is it?
Wait, say that again. Say that again.
Now, today's guest for the podcast is Jara's cat, Jara's Kaya.
Kaya.
Look at
She's
Kaya.
She's really happy right now.
She loves being held by JR. She just kind of jumped in frame. She's like the funniest cat. Where she's actually, you're going to see her, she's definitely blocking me and her tail's blocking me. She's like a dog. Like, I actually, this past summer, I pet sat for them, and I would throw her this, like...
Nerf bullet.
The Nerf bullet, and she would bring it back. Like, I've had dogs that don't do that, let alone cats. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, I want
to... Now that we've talked about Jero's cat, it's time to go.
Yeah.
That's all we have.
That's it. That's the end right there. Thank you guys so much for watching the 9th ever MCM podcast. It's been a blast. Like Jero said, let us know who you want us to have coming on in the comments. And, you know, we look forward to really getting through all this, which we will, guys. I mean, if you can, read the news somewhat, but just cherish this time right now. We're going to be better than ever getting out of this. And the inner pessimist is right there. So once again, thank you guys for being on. Jerry, you got any closing thoughts?
Nope. See you later.
See ya.